Thank you, Stacy. Praise the Lord. That is good. Psalm 38. Let me just go to two verses as we've read the whole passage. Verse 16, for I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me, for I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. I call your attention to verse 16. Four words, when my foot slippeth. That is the title of the message this morning, When My Foot Slippeth. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching. I pray for your help and your power, of course, and Lord, that we will listen, expecting you to do something in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was just thinking that winter was about over, and then we were at pastor school, and I believe it was Wednesday night, it decided to get cold again, which I understand it was cold here as well. And then Thursday morning went out, and everybody was saying, boy, it's really slick out there. And we had a, right outside the motel, we had a little ramp there. And sure enough, I started down that thing, and I mean, it just about caused me to fall down. But, you know, just when you think it's over, it's still there. And of course, in Michigan, my first winter in Michigan, we were in Flint, Michigan, and it actually, we had snow flurries on Mother's Day. So I'm not sure winter's over till usually about the middle of August. And then we have 2 weeks of summer, and then it's winter again. But you just never know. But, you know, we've all experienced slipping and falling. Sometimes, and a lot of times, it's not serious. Some of our folks have fallen on the ice and had some pretty serious injuries. But I remember one time at home, my wife and I, we used to. Now, we haven't played tag in a long time, but we used to play tag. And, you know, I got you last and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, me being fleet of foot years and years and years ago. But anyway, we were doing that one time here in the house. And I was by the stairs. And and I got her last, and then she got me back, and then I got her, and we're running around. And sure enough, my foot slipped, and I fell down the stairs. And you know, she's watching and making sure. I always tell everybody she pushed me, but she didn't really. I slipped. But we laughed because I wasn't hurt. And it wouldn't be a funny thing if you break your neck. Obviously, that's very serious. But we kind of laughed about that. It wasn't a big deal. Typically, you know, when somebody does a skit or on TV or something like that, and somebody slips and falls, you know, everybody thinks it's funny. The old banana peel trick, you know, where they put a banana peel and they slip and fall and ha 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 and all that. And as long as no one's hurt, I guess, you know, it is kind of funny to watch. But the truth of the matter is, the psalmist here talks about slipping and it's not funny. He talks here about slipping and people actually rejoicing about it and laughing about it, but it's not funny at all. In fact, as you start off the psalm, that's why we read the whole psalm. You know, he is going through a very difficult time, and definitely talks about slipping. And of course, we know David and his sin, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But how could people rejoice over other people hurting? How could people be joyful over someone who's fallen and the result is sorrow? David here talks about, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long. He talks about, I'm feeble and sore broken, I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. He says, my iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Well, obviously, right then is when you would expect Christians, God's people, to come in and put an arm over his shoulder and say, hey, let me help you out. Let me pray for you. Let me talk to you about Jesus. Let me try to help you with this thing. And it's almost like there's just nobody around to help him, because his foot slipped. When my foot slippeth, the truth of the matter is everybody slips. I'm looking at a pretty good crowd this morning, and there's not one person here who hasn't slipped. Everybody slips. All of us. And by the way, if you read your Bible, you're going to find that everybody in the Bible slips. Except one. And he's the one that we need to go to. By the way, he's the one that the psalmist goes to for his help because he slipped. Everybody slips. I mean, you read your Bible. Job slipped. Now, you know, it wasn't because of Job's sin. And by the way, that's not the issue here necessarily, though we'll talk a lot about that. But Job, he slipped and fell. And I mean, he was in trouble. And he was in so much trouble, his friends came to help out. But you know what Job said about his friends? He said, miserable comforters are y'all. And he said, you are physicians of no value. I mean, here they are. They're here to help, and they're not helping at all. But Job slipped. You know, Abraham slipped. Isaac slipped. Jacob slipped. Saul slipped. Right? I mean, we know that. David slipped. And again, these, you know, obviously they slipped. They fell because they committed sin. They didn't do what God said to do. Solomon slipped. I mean, David's a man after God's own heart, and he slipped big time. Solomon, his son, slipped. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about all the great things that Solomon did and the wisdom that God gave him, no question about that, but we kind of overlook the fact, and every now and then I'll have somebody, well, you know, Solomon had all these wives and it was okay. It was never okay. What do you mean it was okay? It brought him down. His sin, he slipped and he fell down. I mean, it's all over the Bible. Jonah slipped. Here's a man, he's supposed to preach to people. That's what he's supposed to do. That's his job. And he said, I'm not going to preach to those people. You know, but he slipped. Peter slipped. You know, I mean, Peter, one of our heroes. And again, you're not going to find anybody. You say, well, I really like this guy in the Bible. Well, he slipped somewhere along the line. Now, the Bible may not have recorded it, but I guarantee, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not only our sins cause us to slip, but we just sometimes slip and fall. There are many, many ways that we slip. And the thing is, you know, the Bible says, when my foot slippeth. Everybody slips. You sit here today and you say, well, you know, I'm in church and I'm doing real well and got a good job and everything's going great for me. I've got news for you. Someday you're going to slip. You're either going to slip because of something that God has planned, a test, a trial, something in your life, or you're going to slip because of your sin. But you're going to slip. You're going to fall. And when my foot slippeth, the psalmist says, And that slip is going to hurt. And slipping hurts. I want to show you just some things that I wrote down about this. And the first thing is a circumstantial slip. Now, I do know that it starts with a C, and I like to alliterate my outlines. And I know this one starts with a C, and all the rest of them start with an S, but it has a S sound. All right, so you'll have to forgive me. But it is a circumstantial slip. In other words, you have no control over it. You know, you ever get in a place where you just have, especially you get on ice sometimes and maybe you're driving and you have no control. There is absolutely no control and there's nothing you can do about it. You just slide into whatever's there. I was watching something about, one of the ice storms that hit. And of course we had our own here and, Brother Williams, it was so funny. Brother Williams said, preacher, he said, do people all prune their trees at the same time around here? And he saw all those stacks of branches and everything, and I had to, you know, explain that to him. But I was watching something. It was showing an ice storm, and I mean, car after car, they got on this hill, and there was just nothing they could do. It's like you go over the hill, and then you're on ice, and people are putting on their brakes, they're turning their wheel, and they're just out of control. And then boom, boom, one hits a tree, one hits another car, and then they're backing and they're running into each other, and you know, there's just nothing you can do. And in our lives, that's sometimes the way it is. We don't have any control and we slip. We have no control. It's not something that we made happen. It's not something that we wanted or we chose. It's not because of a decision we made. It's just how life is sometimes. And it's a slip. And it's something that, you know, as the psalmist said here, some of the people might rejoice over it, somebody might make fun of it, or somebody might laugh at it, but the truth of the matter is it brings sorrow, it brings pain, it brings hurt in our lives, and it's not something to laugh about. It's something we have no control over. Job's a good example of that. I mean, Job, what a blessing. God is saying, consider my servant Job. And Job loses his 10 children. He loses his animals. He loses his servants. He loses his health. He loses his friends. I mean, he loses everything. And certainly, that's not something to laugh about. Certainly that would be nothing to smile about. I think about John chapter 9, there was a man born blind. And that man born blind, you know, the people were all saying, well, I know why he's blind. By the way, why do you have to know why anybody slips? Why do you have to know why anybody might be down? Why do you have to know? Why not just be there to try to help him up? I mean, it's amazing to me how we know why he's blind. No, you don't know why he's blind, because the Bible says he's blind to give glory to God. Yeah, that's the only reason. But again, you could look at that as a circumstantial slip in his life. It could cause him to be down. It could cause him to be discouraged. It could cause his life to be a mess. But it doesn't have to be. I was thinking about, when I was 5 years old, five or six, somewhere in there, and my parents wanted me to learn how to ride a bike. And I got a bike, and I kept running into everything. And I still, I remember those days. I don't remember a lot of what all was going on. I don't remember running into trees and everything. But my parents, they thought, this guy is, he's got problems. He just can't, he can't ride a bike. And I was really having a hard time, training wheels, everything was all right, but I still ran into things. And so finally they took me to the eye doctor and I had to get glasses. Now you have to understand, back in those days, glasses were glass. Remember glasses? Yeah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Glasses. All right, some of you do. And they didn't have any way to make them thin, and my eyes were real bad. And I had Coke bottle glasses, all right? And some of you remember those days of Coke bottle glasses, and they were, and the frames were those big old ugly-looking frames and big old thick glasses. And I remember in elementary school, I mean, I was the life of the party. Ah, look at old Four Eyes! Now, again, I didn't choose that. I didn't ask for that. I didn't make a request that, I'd like to wear these real thick glasses. That'd really be cool. That's just how it was. And I remember people laughing and they thought that was funny because of a circumstance in my life I had no control over. By the way, you shouldn't laugh at anybody over anything that hurts them. But especially something they have absolutely no control over. And so I, as I grew up in elementary school, I wouldn't say I was a good unsaved kid, but I wasn't as bad of an unsaved kid as I could have been. I remember a boy that I was in Cub Scouts with, and I don't know why to this day. I'm thinking that he probably had polio. I don't remember any of that, but he had leg braces. And I remember with his leg braces, when he walked, he had to walk, his legs were straight, and he walked like this. And I still can remember other kids laughing at him. And it was a temptation to me, because I was a kid and I wasn't saved and didn't know any better. But I kept hearing that laughter at my Four Eyes that I was being laughed at about. And so I became his friend and became close to him. In second grade, I met a fella named Barney Butler. And this boy was huge. I mean, he was in second grade, and I don't remember how much he weighed. He was huge. He was just very, very overweight, and found out years ago that he died at a very young age because of a weight problem. He had a health problem and everything. But I just remember everybody laughed at him. And they called him all kinds of names, like some of you call other people names. Now, he had a health problem. He didn't ask for that as a second grader. He didn't say, if I could just be bigger than everybody else, that'd sure be great. The other fellow that had braces on his legs with polio or whatever he might have had, he didn't say, boy, if I could just have that. The man born blind didn't say, oh God, let me be blind. I didn't ask to have those thick glasses. The point is, there was no control. I remember as a 12-year-old, 6th grade, 5th, 6th, somewhere in there, I remember my parents got a divorce. Back in those days, everybody wasn't getting divorces. Nowadays it's, so many people get divorces and it's not, but back in those days it was kind of an uncommon thing. And in our neighborhood, the families, we grew up with all these families and everybody was close to each other, everybody was friends, and I remember when my parents got a divorce and everybody was laughing about it. Now I'm going to be honest with you folks, that wasn't a funny thing. And it caused me, it knocked me down sometimes. But people laughed. They thought that was a funny thing. There's nothing funny about that. I don't know how many of our kids have to go through that. Amen. I mean, honestly, some of our bus kids, you know, it'd be nice for them to be able to come to church and hear somebody say, you know, I love you. And you know, I'm sorry about your parents, and I'm praying for you. And instead of, you know, maybe mocking or something like that, because that's what we're supposed to do. But it's a slip. It's when I've fallen down and I don't know how to deal with this. And you know, as a kid, I didn't know how to deal with it. I've mentioned this in messages before, and I'm not going to get into the whole story, but I clearly, as if it were today, I remember as a 12-year-old boy, I remember my mom going through all this process and everything, and my parents had alcohol problems and everything, and I still remember the day that my mom tried to kill herself. I still remember the day that she took her car and she tried to drive her car into the river, and she hit a patch of gravel and it spun the car around, and instead of going in the river, she went back on the road. By the way, this was before my mom got saved. And she was pretty drunk at that time, and she was pretty messed up. And I remember her pulling into the driveway then and getting out of the car, and I was there with a bunch of my friends, and we were playing in the yard, and my mom started saying all these words, and she had her whiskey bottle and she broke it in the driveway and everything, and mom was using terrible language and said how she had tried to kill herself and she couldn't even do that right. And I remember all my friends, I can still see it. They were over to the side snickering and laughing, and yeah, look at his mom. Boy, she's drunk. Look what she's, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't funny to me. And I fell and it hurt. And I was in pain. It's a circumstantial slip. I want to submit to you something on this point. You know, there are people all over this room like that. Something has happened in their life. They didn't have anything to do with it. They slipped. They fell. And it's tough on them. Look at Ephesians 4:29 and we'll move on. Ephesians 4:29. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, that's me. Boy, I'll tell you, I mean, I've had things happen in my life. It had nothing to do with me. And I guarantee all over this room there are people like that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edifying. That's what folks need who slip, you know? Folks that are down. Folks that are hurting. Folks that are in sorrow. As the psalmist says in Psalm 38, you know, had you run into him and he's crying and he's weeping, would you be able to edify? Would you be able to build him up? Would you be able to help lift him up and encourage him? Or would you kind of get off to the side and say, that guy, he's such a strange guy. Look at him. Boy, he's just really messed up. You know, folks really are messed up. But in many cases, just a circumstantial slip. They have no control. No control. And it seems to me like we have the answer. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ for anybody. The answer is His comfort. The answer is His peace. The answer is His help. The answer is His love. Amen. Number one, a circumstantial slip. Number two is a sinful slip, which really is what happens here in Psalm 38, David's sin. You know, a sinful slip. But again, I submit to you, there are many in the category of, you know, I've been hurt because of something someone else did. I've been hurt because of something that happened in my life. I've been hurt because of, and I've fallen because of something that obviously God has allowed in my life. And maybe, you know, it's a physical problem. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe who knows what it is? But there are many who would have to say, and if you haven't yet, you will. I slipped because of my own sin. And I'm down. And I'm hurting. My iniquities, he said, are gone over mine head. I'm drowning in my sin. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I can't get up. I've slipped. I've fallen. It's my own sin. David says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. You know how it goes. With David's sin, remember how it went? The first thing that took place was the little baby died. I can just about guarantee David's enemies laughed. Now that'll show him. Have you ever been there? That'll teach him. I guarantee there's folks right here, right in this room. You've been there. Yeah. Well, that'll show him. That'll teach him. It's almost like we're waiting on God to deal with people. Could I submit to you that's not our job? That's not our place. It's not even our job to wonder why anything happened. I can say this, a little baby dying. I've done a lot of funerals for little babies. And there's nothing to laugh at. I remember doing a funeral for a baby. I got a call from the funeral director. This is years ago when I was in Flint. And I wasn't as busy as I am today. And I did a lot of funerals for the funeral home. And funeral director called me. He said, "Hey, I've got a funeral. Little baby died." And I said, "Man," I don't know. Can you tell me about the pain?" "Oh," he said, it'll be good. You can really help these folks out." I come to find out it was a gang. The little baby was in a gang, a drug gang and a fighting gang. And there were two gangs involved in the funeral that were not with each other. I remember pulling up to do the funeral, and I pulled up to the funeral home. The funeral director's out there. He says, "Preacher, you got to get in there and you got to stop. They're about to have a gang war right here in the funeral home." I said, "I've got to stop it. I don't even know these people. What do you mean I've got to stop it?" Boy, people were upset. People were down. People were discouraged. 15 people trusted Jesus as their Savior at that funeral. Now that's me, but somebody slipped, they've fallen, they're hurting. Hey, the baby died. Everybody wants to blame everybody. Everybody wants, "Oh, you deserved it. No, you deserve it. No, you're wicked. No, you're wicked. No, you're vile." Truth is, we all don't get what we deserve. Because we all deserve hell. I'm just saying this. I'm just saying, you know, the truth of the matter is, David deserved hell. But he slipped. Sinful slip. There's nothing funny about someone's slip that hurts. David's son Amnon rapes his sister Tamar. He's murdered by Absalom. Absalom rebels. None of that's funny. None of that is anything to rejoice at. "Well, I hate David." Then you need to get right with God. Yeah. It's not funny. "Well, so-and-so, yeah, they're going to go to the hospital. They have a problem. Boy, that serves them right." You know, you need to check out your own Christianity. But I'm trying to help somebody here today. You say, "You know, I messed up, and I feel like David. My iniquities are gone over my head. I'm a mess, and I'm down. And the burden's so heavy on me." Please understand, if it hadn't happened, it will. When my foot slippeth. I always wonder, where were David's friends when he slipped? Where were his friends when he slipped? And I understand, you know, all that took place. I mean, one of his friends, Joab, killed his son Absalom, going against David's command. Hey, where are you when somebody slips? Are you one of them that says, "Well, that'll teach him"? "Oh, they're in jail? Yeah, that serves them right. Oh, yeah, they're in prison. Well, that'll show them. Oh, they have some kind of a problem? Yeah, that'll show them. That'll teach them." Do we rejoice at another's punishment? Do we rejoice at another's sorrow over their sin? Do we rejoice at their misery? Do we rejoice when they stop coming to church? Do we rejoice when they stop reading their Bible? That'll teach them. How unchristian. There's the circumstantial slip. There's the sinful slip. I was thinking about the preacher, and boy, it's hard to talk about these things, but I was thinking about the preacher that was the pastor of the church where I was called to preach. And shortly after I went to Bible college, he was arrested for breaking the law, and he ended up spending 12 years in prison. And that was a tough thing, boy, I'll tell you. And a lot of people were saying, "Well, that serves him right." Some people said that because they didn't like what he preached. I guarantee there's some folks in here, you know, right? If the beheading started, you'd be there cheering as they cut mine off. But it's not because I'm wrong. It's because you don't like what I preach. Amen. Yeah. "Yeah, that'll show him." Whack. "Yeah, well, I'll show you. I'll be in heaven." And I'll have a head in heaven. And maybe the new one will have hair. But that preacher spent 12 years in prison. During that time, I was in Bible college and, of course, then started a church. And I tried to visit him in prison, and they wouldn't let me in to visit him because I just wanted to visit him and talk with him. And all the talk back home, boy, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, I assumed that he was guilty. He slipped. Well, that's a terrible, it's a terrible thing. But after about 30 years, I come to find out he was living right up here in Fenton, Michigan. And found out where he was living, and I got to visit him. You say, boy, I bet you let him have it for letting you down. Well, of course I didn't do that. That'd be kind of a foolish thing, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. No, I thanked him for being my pastor when he was. And we brought church directories and the Christian school yearbook, and we showed him and reminded him of the past and how he had preached and I surrendered to preach and all of that, and he was just so excited about that. You say, well, why didn't you let him know how he let you down? Because I'm trying to help him get up. And it was 30 years later. I was so glad. And I told him, I said, you know, we'll come back, we'll visit you again. But 6 months later, he died. But I'm glad that somebody could go and tell him how much they appreciate. You say, yeah, well, you know, it serves him right for that. He ought to be miserable. Then I guess we all ought to be miserable too. And my Bible says we're to rejoice in the Lord always. My Bible says rejoice evermore. My Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't think anybody ought to be miserable. I don't want any of you to be miserable. You may have taken a knife and plunged it into my back. I don't want you to be miserable. I don't want you to have sorrow. I don't want you to be like the psalmist here. I want you to be happy and have joy and get up. And you're here today and you've fallen, you messed up, you sinned, and you've slipped, and you blew it. And get up. Get up. And get busy for God. My buddy in college, best friend in college, became a preacher. I'm not going to mention his name, but he became a preacher. I went with tour groups, led tour groups all over America, became an evangelist, preached for me in Bern, Indiana several times, was a good friend of our church there, became a pastor, and he messed up. And he messed up bad. And ended up getting divorced and was living a pretty worldly life. And I remember when I found out where he was and I found out how he was doing and everything. I flew one time to Nashville, Tennessee, and I sat in a Cracker Barrel. And I know he looked at me as I walked in. He knew the answers. He knew all the scripture. He knew all that. And he looked at me and he was ready. And he had his wall built up for me to attack him and get after him. But I just said, you know, I said, I want you to know this. I don't care what you've done. I'm your friend and I love you. And if I can help you in any way, I'll help you. He said, well, I've had other preachers call. And I said, I'm not just another preacher. And I'm not here as a preacher. I'm here as your friend. I just want to help you out. That's all. You know, I don't know what happened in our lives where we have to rejoice in the sorrow and the pain of somebody else. When someone slips, they need help. Not our rejoicing, not our laughter, not our condemnation. I don't know how many times I've heard the words from a teen girl sitting in my office saying, I'm pregnant. I don't know how many times I've heard them too many times. I'm thinking of one young lady years ago. I heard those words from her three times. You say, boy, she didn't listen to you, did she? Listen to me. That's not the words out of my mouth. That's what you're thinking. Every time I just said, listen, I'm here to help you. And I'll do everything I can to restore you. And I'll do everything I can to help you have the kind of life that will be bring honor and glory to Jesus. You say, yeah, but that's wicked. That's vile. And who isn't here? Which one of you isn't? Which one of us isn't? You just didn't get caught in your slip. Nobody knows about your slip. I don't want to ever see any life ruined. I don't care who you are. I've had people say, well, you know, I quit coming to church because I did this and I did this and I got in trouble and I just figured people would laugh at me. Oh, let me tell you something. If they do, they need to get on the altar and get right with God. It is not our place to laugh at you. It's not our place to rejoice over you're getting in trouble. It is our place to try to get you, help you get up. And folks, if that's not what you're doing, if that's not your purpose as a Christian with other people, then you need to get right with God. You're here today and you messed up. Understand, you got a friend in this preacher. You got friends all over this room. Nobody has the right to look down on anybody else. No one. No one. Sinful slip, and then there's sorrow from slipping. He said, the psalmist said in verse 17, I'm ready to halt and my sorrow is continually before me. It doesn't matter why you're down. It doesn't, when you're down, there's a lot of sorrow. He said it's continually before me. Continually. I cannot understand anyone wanting someone else to have sorrow. I don't understand that. Again, he's the one that said, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth. I cannot imagine people wanting to see somebody hurt. Oh, I don't know how many times I've wept over the sorrow of someone who said, I hate you. And I thought, I don't want you to hurt like you're hurting. I want to help you up. Why would we want that? It always goes back to those kids that they laughed at the fellow with leg braces. Folks laughed at that heavy boy and they laughed at my glasses and they thought that was funny. And you know what? It's not funny. And it's not funny when someone's hurting because they slipped. I don't care why they slipped. It's not funny when someone's life is a mess. Boy, I read this passage, it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. You may be like that. By the way, folks are like that right before they kill themselves. I've read the notes. I've seen them. It's just like that. No one cares. They think it's funny. They think my life is funny that I'm a drug addict. They think it's funny that I've been in immorality and I have a disease. They think it's funny that I've been divorced 3 or 4 times. They think that's funny that I slipped. But it's not funny. It's just not funny. There's a lot of sorrow from slipping. That's why I preach as hard as I preach to our teenagers. Just do right. Just do right. And I'll see them. Boy, I've preached to them and I'll see them. They'll come out of the Christian school and they'll end up going another direction. And I mean, they'll mess up their life and I mean in all kinds of things. And sometimes they'll want to get in my face about it and say, well, look at me now. But I know their heart is aching. And I know there's sorrow. And I know there's pain. Because the wages of sin is still death. It still is. Always. You're not going to sin and tell me it's just going to be, it's a great big party, because I know it's not. You may go out here and get drunk. You may go out here and get on drugs. You may go out here and commit all kinds of immorality and do your thing. But you're not going to tell me that you're just having a ball, because I know better. And I know that, I don't remember who it was I was talking to, and they made a comment about someone said, I looked in their eyes and it was empty. Boy, when you see that, that is this. And you want to say, yeah, I tried to tell them. Who cares? Keep trying to tell them and try to lift them up. Sorrow from slipping. And then number 4 is stopping after slipping. And this is what happens often. I'm ready to halt and my sorrow is continually before me. I'm ready to halt. I've slipped. I've fallen. Well, usually if you slip and fall, you get up. But you know, some folks don't. By the way, I guarantee there's a whole lot of folks in this room. If you fell, you can't get up by yourself. Somebody's got to try to help you, right? Yeah. And you know, spiritually, that's often the case. The psalmist knew who could help. Verse 21, "Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." But you know, a lot of people don't know that. There's folks here in this room. You're right on that, right? You slipped. May not be anything you did. May not have anything to do with you. It may be circumstantial completely. It may be because of your sin, but you're down. By the way, we should care. You're about ready to quit. By the way, some do. They quit. They just get out of church. Go their own way. I'm thinking of someone right now, doesn't read their Bible anymore, doesn't pray anymore, doesn't go to church anymore, just said, "I'm done. I'm through. I don't care." And there would be some that would say, "Yeah, it serves them right. I don't get it." There's some here today that are thinking about suicide. There's a big crowd here. A lot of folks think about suicide. I say to you this morning, if you slipped, just get up. Look at the cross. Look at Jesus. He loves you. He loves you, and He has something for your life. "No, I've gone too far." You can't go too far. It's not possible. "No, I've done too many wicked things." Not possible. Can't happen. "You don't understand. I've ruined everything." No, you're still alive. You haven't ruined everything. You just need to get up. You need to see Jesus. You need to get up and let Him take your life. Because I promise you, all over this room are slippers. Amen. I mean, all over, starting right here. And thank God that I got up. Thank God that He helped me up. And He set my feet on a solid rock. Don't give up. Get up. Better yet, here's my hand. Let me help you up. Hey, Berean Baptist Church, here's our hand. Let us help. Hey, drug addict, let us help you up. You don't have to be a drug addict. Hey, alcoholic, let us help you up. You don't have to be an alcoholic. Hey, pervert, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to have that stuff in your mind. Hey, let us help you up. Let us help you up. I don't care. I don't care how dirty you are. Let me help you. Let me help you up. You say, I'm laying in the mud. Let me help you up. He'll clean you up. By the way, that mud, I've been in it. You've been in it. If you watch the basketball games, those guys play a ball game, and they're out there playing. They're sweating. I mean, they're sweating real bad. And, you know, coaches, a lot of times they're wearing their nice suit. And here comes a guy, he comes running in, and they hug each other. You know, I remember the first time I hugged one of my ball players. It's nasty. But you know what? I've sweat. Your sweat's no different than my sweat. You know, we both stink if we sweat enough. Amen. You know, well, you know, preacher. I mean, they've really messed up, real bad. Give them a hand, help them up. That's what the psalmist was saying. Some folks will laugh. Some folks make fun. Some point. Somebody. Some whisper. Some talk. But the Christian that walks with Jesus, they offer their hand. You're here today, and you're about to stop. Please let me offer my hand. Please let me try to help you. Please don't quit. Whatever you do, don't quit. Don't quit on God. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit praying. Don't even consider ending your life. Stopping after slipping. And let me close with number 5, and that's standing after slipping. Standing. That's what we need. Verse 18, "For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." That's what David said. He said, God, I need your help. He said, verse 21, forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. The only way you stand after slipping is the Savior. That's who helps you up. You know, I mean, there's a lot of programs out there for alcoholics. There's programs out there for homosexuals. There's all kinds of programs. But I'm going to tell you who will help you get up. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the solution for slipping. He'll help you stand. When you slip, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter why. There's people, I guarantee there's folks in this room, somebody hurt you real bad when you were young. You're like me. You've got that memory. You know, the driveway, I still see it. I see the whiskey bottle breaking on the pavement. I see my mom who's drunk and said she just tried to kill herself. I still can hear her as in her slurring words says, go tell your dad you hate him and you're going to live with me or I will kill myself. And I look over and there's all the people laughing. Oh, they were just kids. But they were laughing and snickering and whispering. And there's folks in this room, you know, you've got things like that. And it's far worse. You've really slipped. But you can't let it keep you down. You got to take it to the Savior. Like I did many years ago. And you take it to the Savior. And you let Him get you up. By the way, church, it's our job to take people to the Savior. You know, we can give them some words of comfort, and we can give them some words that'll help, and we can let them know we're their friend, but a real friend will take them to Jesus Christ. I don't care if they're lost, they need Jesus to be saved, or if they're a backslider, they need Jesus to rebuild their life. For anyone to ever look at someone else and say, ha, ha, now that serves them right. That'll show them. Boy, you need to get right with God yourself. When my foot slippeth. Oh, it'll happen. It'll happen. Everybody in this room, it'll happen. It has happened. I look around all over some circumstantial slip. I mean, just things in your life you didn't plan, you didn't know it was, and it just happened. There are some that sinful slip that brings sorrow and pain as David here and you can't get up and you need help. Understand there's a Savior who loves you and like David say, make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. And He'll help you. He'll help you. You know the world is full of slippery places. It really is. There's a lot of slippery places. We need to help each other. We really need to help each other. How about you're helping somebody walk across the ice and you've got good shoes and they've got real slick shoes and you just kind of help them along. Why wouldn't we want to do that? That's what Master Clubs is about. That's what RU is about. That's what our Christian school is about. It's just helping people get through those slippery places. Every now and then they're going to fall. Every now and then, but we're right there. Here, let me help you up. Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. I get calls all the time. You know, somebody, preacher, I just can't make it. I can't keep going. I messed up and I fall. Hey, get up. Come on now. Get up. Get up. You got to keep going. Hey, listen, it's worth it to keep going. And you know what it is? It always is. Take it from a slipper. It's worth it to get up and to get on solid ground and just keep going for God. It's worth it. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You see, I feel like nobody cares. Your preacher cares. And I guarantee there's somebody else cares. If you've slipped today, you're down. You're hurting. Maybe it's because of something you did. Maybe it's not. You'd say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart today. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Come on, raise your hand all over. And maybe you're here and you're not sure you're saved. You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Oh, you need to be saved today. Please, please, please don't leave here without Jesus as your Savior. How many would say, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone like that? Raise your hand. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Father, please bless the invitation. Help us to be folks that would offer a helping hand when someone slips. Help us never to rejoice over someone else's sorrow, someone else's pain, but help us to lift people to the Savior. Bless the invitation, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Music, cleanse me. God, speak in your heart today. You have a decision to make. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come. Many have come. You come now. God, speak in your heart. You have something to pray about. You say, I know somebody. I need to help them up. Then come and pray about it. Pray for them. God, speak into your heart today. You need to pray about something. Come on, right now. Right now. Right now. When my foot slippeth. You know, as you rejoice over someone else's sorrow, I want you to understand someday that's going to be you. It may be something you brought on. It may be something you didn't bring on, but it's going to be you. And that little group will be off in the corner. They'll be snickering, whispering. Why don't you be the one that brings folks to the Savior? He won't laugh. I was thinking about Judas this morning, and Savior knew he was going to betray him. I don't think the Savior ever laughed about it, though. I cannot imagine Jesus ever rejoicing over Judas perishing under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine. I know, as a pastor, I don't ever laugh about somebody's failure under my ministry. I would never mock. I would never laugh. It's not a rejoicing matter. Well, I bet you're glad they left. I'm never glad they leave. It's not possible. That'd be like a parent saying they're glad that the rebellious child left. You've got to be kidding. God's speaking to your heart today. You need to pray. Come on. Judas killed himself. Peter announces it to the apostles, and he was with us. He was with us. He killed himself. I don't think anybody laughed about that. What do you think? You think they all just gather around and say, well, that serves him right. His bowels gushed out because of the way he killed himself. Do you suppose people just think they all sat around the apostle? Yeah, well, that serves him right. That'll teach you. Boy, you betrayed Jesus. I just wonder in this room how many betrayed Jesus already today. I'm not comparing you with Judas. Don't get me wrong. I just don't see anything funny about Judas killing himself, about anybody killing themselves, about anyone slipping, hurting, in sorrow. Any others need to come? Still time. All right, look up this way, please. 4:30, ensemble practice, 5 o'clock, all the other practices, different groups. And then men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time also at 5 o'clock. And teens meet at 5, 6 o'clock, the evening service. And don't forget, I do need to meet with all those going on the senior trip right after the service tonight. Will not be a long meeting. And I need your consent forms. Make sure you have those, not just the form, but they need to be signed. Amen. Yeah, I brought my form. Didn't fill anything out. I thought you could fill it out. All right. Can't. All right. Brother Rob, close in prayer for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today. You brought each of us here for a reason. There was something we needed this morning. Thank you for showing us Pastor's heart through this message. about those that slip. Every one of us does it, just not everybody knows about it. Pray that we'll consider this and meditate on this and realize that there are those we can help pick up, help them get back up and back on the narrow and straight and narrow way and the way they should be going. Be with us as we go our ways this afternoon. Bring us back this evening at the time we should be here for the different activities we have going on. Pray that you'll keep everybody safe. Keep the buses safe as they take everyone home. Bring us back together this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.